is an opportunity to prepare for the twofold coming of Christ, his coming at Christmas and his second coming in glory. This first Sunday of Advent, the church invites us to stay awake. And as preparing for this reflection, I remember childhood experiences with my siblings and friends. I have our last kid sister, Alice. She's a very, she likes playing pranks a lot. So we have two of our nephews living with us. And you know, when someone is half awake, you sleep and you're woken up, you're not really conscious of your environment and what is happening. So my little nephews will wake up and they'll ask them, hey, it's time for dinner. And when they wake up, my kid sister Alice will get them to where the food is set. And you have the wash hand bowl with water and soup and what we call fufu. And Alice will say, okay, Matthew, it's time to eat. And because he's half asleep, he gets the fufu. And instead of dipping it in the soup, he dips it in the house wash bowl water. And Alice does that every time on purpose. And when Matthew realizes that he's not actually eating soup but water, he gets angry. And Daniel, when you wake Daniel up and it's time to go to bed, Alice will say, don't touch him. Let him go to bed himself. And you find Daniel going straight to the restroom. And when he gets there, he realizes that, oh, that's not the bedroom. And this last one is very bad, so don't practice it, kids, okay? I grew up in a neighborhood where we spend a lot of time in the evening up to 8, 9 p.m. And when we have all the fun, all the play, sometimes some people tend to sleep off. And when they sleep on a long bench, what some of our friends, what we used to do is to sometimes we tie these guys up while they are sleeping. And when they wake up and they want to go, they just turn over. So that's a bad one. Don't do it. Another terrible one. While they are sleeping, we just get a paper, roll it up, and put it on their mouth and light matches and they're like, very terrible. We all got that prank. You become a victim when you fall asleep. So they do all kinds of things to you, and very terrible. Okay. Anyway, so we are to stay awake spiritually by living a holy life. Sometimes people try to live a holy life, but are not really awake to life and God's presence. We tend to go through life half asleep and unaware of the world around us and the world within us. How do we know if we are awake to life or half asleep? When we are half asleep, life becomes strictly routine, just a series of tasks and obligations to make us feel trapped and burdened. We become creatures of habit, and our habits box us in and stifle our spirit. We may wake up with the sun, but we have lost our sense of wonder and excitement. If we can identify with this, then we are not yet awake to life. So my point is, in the first place, Jesus wants us to stay awake in the spiritual life sense, to live a life of holiness. But in our day-to-day life, it could be that many of us are not really awake because we are so consumed with fulfilling tasks and obligations, and we are not awake to the wonder of life, to the beauty of life, to God's blessings around us. And I think that is where we need to really stay awake during this season of Advent. A priest, Father Bernard Lonergan, said the same thing when he wrote about what conversion of heart means. One of his stages of conversion is the way we approach our ordinary life. Father Lonergan says that conversion of heart is a change from viewing life as a series of problems, just one crazy thing after another, to seeing life as a mystery, a wonder, a surprise, and a gift from God. You know, I was a victim of that experience. I used to see life as a problem, fulfilling one task after another. But thanks be to God, Jesus gave me a new vision of life. Life is not a problem. It's not an opportunity to solve one problem or the other. It's an opportunity to experience the wonder of God, the beauty of life, and the gift that God has given us. Let's try that when we wake up tomorrow morning and look at ourselves in the mirror. I have to say that more often than not, my early morning review of the day looks more like one function or task after another than a wonderful, surprising gift. I know, and you know, that our lives are filled with routines, tasks, and obligations. That will not change. But we can change. We can wake up to the coming of the Lord in the world around us and the world within us. How many times each day does Jesus come to us in the world around us? He comes in the people we meet and in the ordinary circumstances of the day. Yes, even in our routines, if we will only wake up and see him. On Friday, Sister Mary Eileen helped me with administering the sacrament of baptism to a child and the family. And usually some of the kids are very nervous. So when I came in, I started dancing to the kid, and he was all smiling and happy, and I got him. All through the baptism, he was just smiling, because when I look at him, and I was like, so. And after that baptism, it was a big moment of joy and experience of God's presence through that kid. So even in our routine, we can find God. We can find joy. How many times each day does Jesus come to us in the world within us? He comes in those little inner promptings. He comes in those unexpected moments of clarity and sensed presence. If only we will wake up to his constant comings in our hearts. How would the coming of Jesus at Christmas really mean anything to us if we are not awake to all the ways he comes to us each day and each moment and around us? And that's our simple task, that childlike approach to Advent. Let's remember each morning when we look at ourselves in the mirror to pray simply, Lord, wake me up to this new day. If we do, Advent will be full of surprise and wonder. It's about experiencing God's presence and the presence of one another. And I think this last exhortation should be for young people. 2 weeks ago, I went to help the teens out there in Mesa for a live teen program, an all-night vigil. I was there to help with adoration, and usually I can hear music and sit down. So when they started playing music, I was out on the stage and dancing, and they were like, hey, look at you. Christianity is fun. I've said that again and again. So it was nice to be with the young people. There was something I noticed. People were there to spend time together to get to know each other, because that's the aim of that that program, and to spend time with the Lord, get to know each other. But you see, most of the guys there, they were there on their phones. They were cut off from what was happening, because they were glued to their cell phones. And that's a big problem. For young people, Jesus wants you to be present. He wants you to stay awake, to be present to your friends, to be present to your teachers, to be present to your parents. Because a lot of the aches and the trouble with young people today is because they are no longer present to one another and to people who will inspire them. During lectures, they are just with their phone. Dinner time, they're playing with their phones. And when you don't stay awake to the next person close to you, you defeat the main reason why God created you. You were not created to play with your phone all your life. You created to share the gift that God has given you with those around you. So Jesus invites you today to change from that experience, from that attitude, to be awake to people around you, so that because you are a mystery, when you get glued to your phone, you block the mystery of God in you, and people don't receive that mystery and that blessings that you're supposed to be. So I encourage you to give up that attitude and respond to Jesus' invitation this Advent to be present to your friends, to be present to your teachers, to be present to your families, and to be present to your siblings, especially the younger ones. They want you. If we are not present to them, they will not have good experiences to share when they grow up.